Welcome to Super Tati's for Parshas Tetzaveh. Let's start with three stories. There's a story about the Chazon Ish, that a particular individual came to visit the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish turned to them and showed them this beautiful menorah that the Rosh Ha'ir of Bnei Brak had set up near, at the opening of his house. He says, look what the Rav did for me. And the Chazon Ish asked over and over and over again, and when he didn't understand the Shaila, then the Chazon Ish went on and said, listen, he made this beautiful menorah for me at the opening of my home, and when I leave my house to go Daven Marav, I see that my shade, as it falls on the ground, because of the light from the menorah, the farther I get away from it, the shade gets bigger and bigger. And when I came back from Marav, it's the opposite. The closer and closer I get to that light, the smaller my shade will be. And he said, oh, listen to this beautiful Musar Haskel we learn about from the menorah. He said, look, the closer we get to the light of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the smaller we'll be. And the farther we get from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is the light, the bigger we'll be. What a Musar Haskel. Weiter, there's a story about an Avrich. After he got married, he got into a little bit of a argument with his wife about what sorts of candles they should be lighting on Erev Shabbos, L'chavod Shabbos Kodesh. So the minig in his household was to light with olive oil and to be mahadir for olive oil, and he wanted that to continue. But his wife, in her house, they used paraffin. It was cleaner, it was easier, and she wanted to continue in that way as well. So they decided they were going to go to the Shefa Chaim Mitzanz, and he'll tell them what to do. So they sat in front of him, they put the shayla in front of him, and the husband, the Avrich, said, said what he had said. So the Tzanzer turns to him, he says, look, why do we have the mitzvah of Nir Shabbos again? If it's because of Shalom Bayis, right? And here we're making a fight about how to make Shalom Bayis. He looked to the Avrich and said, let her do whatever she wants, because this is a mitzvah for her. So sometimes we get very, very caught up in being excited about Minhagim, being excited about Dikdukim, being excited about mitzvahs, which are all very, very important, but they're also very important within the whole tapestry of Yiddishkeit, and specifically when it comes to a mitzvah of Shalom Bayis, we cannot afford to lose the forest from the trees. So the next story is the story about the Toldos Yaakov Yosef in front of his Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov. So the Baal Shem Tov taught a very, very chashuva yesod that every time everything that you see or that you hear, there's something for you to learn from with respect to your Avodas Hashem. So while he was teaching that idea, somebody came to his house, a Gentile, and his job was to fix kelim. He was a repairman. So he asked the Baal Shem Tov, maybe there's something broken in the house, maybe a pot or something with maybe a broken handle or something. Is there something that needs a tikkun in the house? And the Baal Shem Tov happily responded, in my house, everything, Baruch Hashem, is complete. Everything's sholim. Everything's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. And I have no need to fix anything. And the repairman turned back to him and said to him, you know, maybe you should just take a minute, look around the house and make sure there's nothing broken before you send me away. And the Baal Shem Tov turned to the gentleman who was with him. He said, you can see that this repairman has now taught me a very, very important Musar Haskel, right? They're talking about Pashat Kelim, but I see that he was a shaliach to tell us about, you know, fixing ourselves, meaning even when a person feels like there's nothing that needs to be fixed, they need to look around, to be mpashmesh, be mamashmesh, and see maybe there is something that needs to be fixed. Next on to the Divrei Torah, a gorgeous, gorgeous alshach that really socks you in the gut a little bit. So it says, Vasisa al shulav rimune tchelas this big day kuna, pamone zahav besocham. So the pamon and the rimon. So the pamon, the bells and the rimonim. So the alshach observes that the pamonim make noise, and that is a remez, a hint towards speech, but the rimonim, they are silent, and they are a remez to silence. That is why there is one pamon and two rimonim to teach us that our silence, our mida of silence, should be double as much as our dibur. Everything that we say should have two doses of silence that would accompany it. Next, let's learn a few altars of Kelm. We say Shemen Zayas Zach, and the altar of Kelm sees that the purity of the oil is a remez on the purity that we need to make the physicality in Olam Hazeh through wisdom. He says we need to be very, very, very careful about confusion, because the Baha'u'llah will ruin our Seichel Chas V'Shalom, and there's nothing to say about that. And you can see from the seven Kanei Menera, it says, Shemen Zayis Zach Belo Shmorim, meaning it needs to be pure without any imperfections in there. And you know, it takes a lot of work for them to get something that was completely pure. And the idea is, we know that the Menera is a sign, a remez for Chochmah, for wisdom. And just like you say, a person who wants to become wise should turn southward, because that's where the menorah was. So therefore, the remez is somebody who wants their seichel needs to keep away from this world, from Olam Hazeh, things so much, so you can have the full benefit of the light of their chokhmah. Next on the comment of kosis l'maor, what does the word kosis mean here? It means somebody who is willing to cut short their hergel, that which they're normal and accustomed to do. He brings a Gemara in Beba Basra that says, Talmidei Chachamim Shemech Katasim Raglehem Mi'ir Le'ir. They move their feet from city to city. Medina, Medina, Lilmod Torah. In order to learn Torah, what does it mean, Raglehem? Means it's not talking about their actual feet, the Raglayim. Rather, it's their customs, as it were. So, as we said, he says a person's heart has so much in it. It understands, it knows, it sees, it thinks, and that's why we need. That's why we can even have something called a lev chacham, and a person's heart can be a chacham lev, but it is like a full house full of all the wonderful things with closed windows, but if you don't open up those windows, all the good within the heart is as if it's not there. So the same thing with a person. Their heart is full of this, all this wonderful stuff, because it is the handiwork of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the windows they're closed, they're sealed. Because the lev needs a lot of work, so that we get all that we're supposed to do, and a person who doesn't give a bris milah to their or las halev, the chachma is as if it's sealed in there. So what does it mean? Kosis, it means you need to be ready to cut, you need to be able to change, you need to be able to grow. Also, the begodim have the avnei zikaron, these two stones on the kisvos ephod, and they are supposed to be there, and it is quite remarkable, says the altar of Kelm, how crazy it is that Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to make a maisa for us to remember. And not only that, it says that Aaron is supposed to be carrying them in front of Hashem always. They need to find all these different etzos, all these tachbulos, so it will always be there, so they will not stop their memory patterns. And this is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show Klal Yisrael the fact that memory is something that can be forever. And you do maisim as if you need eitzes to remember, but still shows that, as you will see, just like you will see from me, that I reminded you to always have this zikaron. You should know that it is impossible. E.F. Sharlachem, Iske Nafshosechem, Ki'im, Keshetirbu, Tirbu, Eitzos, Vesachbulus, Liskor Tamid. You're not going to be able to succeed in matters of the Nefesh unless you do Tachbulos. You need to always be in them. That's the idea. Because if you don't do this, you're going to forget, you're going to be confused, and you're going to lose your focus. That's what he means. Always do tachbulos. Always be remembering. Always be thinking. The Abarbanel asks a fundamental question. The fundamental question is, why do we need just one shevet to be the focal party for Avodas Hashem? So Kadosh Baruch Hu picked the Kohanim, this one family, for two reasons. The first one, because they needed to be very, very focused on spiritual matters, and to be able to do that, they needed to be able to have private time, alone time, and they couldn't be so osik just in the normal day-to-day mundane life. Obviously, for an entire people, that would be an impossibility, but with respect to one tribe, that is something that would be okay, to have just one mishpacha that would be able to come and do all of the hishtadlus for those spiritual matters. The other one is to show simply the unity and the singularity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu had just one Beis HaMikdash in one place and had one Am and gave one Torah, so he wanted one family that would be the ones that would do this sort of service. Now I'm going to give two thinking questions. The first question is, when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu is supposed to bring a par, it says there in Rashi that this is supposed to be a kippur for the Chet HaEgel. Now this is obviously very interesting, because we've learned the principle of in kategor nase sanegor, that we can't have a prosecution act as a defense. Said differently, that something which will be a reminder of our own personal incrimination shouldn't be something which acts as our defense. This is why we don't want to use a Karen Para for the shofar for Rosh Hashanah. So why is it here that we can use the Para? That's a classic. You can see all the Rashi Mefarshim there. Second, Gabay the Tzitz. Gabay the Tzitz, it says, V'haya al mitzcho tamid. It says it will always be on his metzach, like his forehead. So it's impossible that it's always going to be on his head, because it's always going to be there during the Shas Avoda. So go take a look at the Seda Laderech there. And to make that question maybe a little bit more palpable, if you look back in Chaf Zayin Chaf, you'll see there we have a Rashi on the word Tamid. It says Tamid is kol laila v'laila karui Tamid. So how are we going to be able to be Misparish Tamid in a couple of different directions? I think that that's worthwhile. Also giving a little look over there, you can take a look at the Gur Aryeh and the Maskil HaDavid. Everyone have a lovely Shabbos.